Chapter 9. Concerning the Literary Conference. As we just read a few moments ago in Chapter 8, normality in the village, apart from Sage's influence, apparently consisted of whatever the townspeople considered to be normal. While the park, library, and playground remained, as well as a nice cafe, the well-known and beloved Dirty Dog Bar, now transformed into the Canis Fidelis Grill and Juice Bar, or whatever people were calling it that day, a quaint little downtown shopping district had grown up around them, spreading up and down the street in either direction. There was no mall, as apparently the dislike that one or more citizens held for them was stronger than the bland, unthinking desire of others for their own convenience. The worried scientists in town, including Sophie, Pricecheck, and former airline pilot and current inventor Mohammed Abdurrahim Hussein, were pretty sure that the mental and emotional energy, let's call it the candle power or wattage, of each person in town affected the consensus reality in proportion to its intensity. There was even a theory that some animals were affecting reality, but most had not bought into this idea yet. They had enough trouble without this additional complicating factor. While the place still looked like Dry Creek Gulch, the main street was full of quaint little shops and postmodern tech startups. Would any of the tech in these places actually work? That was apparently up to Pricecheck, either because he'd found a way of controlling the tech dismantling nanobots after the loss of the deceptively cheap-looking tin whistle that had formerly ruled them, or because he was the only major character or prominent citizen who actually gave a damn. The managers and employees of these establishments, being at the moment mere lay figures not even bearing names, were not able to influence reality. But you never could tell what might emerge in the future. Look at the cat Fatty Lumpkin, who started out as an unnamed orange cat in a two-sentence reference and subsequently became so important that several other characters filed a petition complaining about his undue prominence. See Part 5, Fatty Lumpkin Esquire, in Sage's Multiverse miniseries. A few doors down from the Dirty Dog, a sign announced the opening of a new law firm, though what exactly it would do in Dry Creek Gulch was quite a puzzle. There was also a rumor that Edwin Puppy Esquire, about whom nobody knew very much, was preparing to join the firm. Spreading toward the outskirts of town to the north and south, and suddenly unpaved one day because people apparently preferred it that way, Main Street now included a candy store, a shoe and saddle repair shop that dealt in leatherwork, the House of Cats, and Crazy Melvin's Monster Radio Store. There was also a big sign, emblazoned with a blue whale or leaping dolphin or some such thing, which read, "Cetacean Nation, come see what we're up to." "Up to about £1,000, joked a passerby. Next to the sign was a little booth displaying intricate clothing and jewelry designs, reading "Cetacean Creations." The empty chair, presumably to be occupied by the proprietor of this small establishment, was oddly shaped. Very oddly. The oddness did not bother Sage. Oddness never did. The disappearance of commercialism had been the one clear benefit he'd found in the end of the world. And some days, he thought it was almost worth it. But now, it seemed to be creeping back. He momentarily considered just getting rid of the new little shopping district. While it appeared to be trying hard, it wasn't real yet. And if he put his mind to it, it never would be. As he stood contemplating on the sidewalk, a thin young man with brown hair, a clean-shaven face, and no personality whatsoever, handed him some papers. Sage suspected he was one of the new amorphous characters who were hanging around lately, possibly trying to become real.
"What's this?" asked Halligan Sage, looking remarkably blank.
"Well, these are the newest mini-novels," said the man. He was suddenly wearing horn-rimmed glasses. "From your postmodernist, minimalist, neo-symbolist, pseudo-realist school of literature. The school has developed quite a lot since you last checked in with us," he added with a vague show of enthusiasm. He had apparently decided to become a publisher or bookseller, giving increased solidity and definition to his form and personality.
"What's your name?" asked Sage conversationally. "I assume you have one."
Said the man, like Sage, looking remarkably blank. It seemed he wasn't prepared for this question.
"Never mind," said Sage kindly. "You'll get there if you're supposed to."
He thought for a moment to see if he could name the guy.
Nope, he had nothing. Here's a good one, said the brown-haired man, abruptly changing the subject. I like this one. He offered a piece of paper. Sage took it gingerly, while a few other shadowy figures craned their necks over to see what was going on. Here is what he read. Baraboo Bartholomew, Fur Trapper with a Heart, by Wade Garnett. Baraboo Bartholomew was a hungry guy, and if you look at the title of this novel, you can see why. The end. What? Said Halligan Sage. A moment later, he laughed. Okay, that was not too bad.